You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Gareth Topham, James Millman and Ross Briley in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well, with Chepstow and Musselburgh on the flat on Friday afternoon, with all-weather racing at Lingfield. Into the evening we've got two jumpers, Bangor and Fontwell, and it's day four of the Punchestown Festival. Some more high-quality racing to come from over the Irish Sea. So a good day to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. I'm still wiping away the tears from Sandown on Saturday with the AP farewell. Absolutely stunning day that was. And again, it's a day that we'll all remember, and for the right reasons, really, that the champ went out in one piece to a wonderful tribute to him from the general public who turned up on the day.
It was great. The fact that they applauded him on the way round and they applauded him on the way to the start, and obviously he got the praise that he deserves with the jockeys giving him a guard of honour and everything as well. It was really special, wasn't it?
Well, very special day. And again, something that, we know, when we announced his retirement, we didn't think that it would create just such a huge interest as it did, and it just turned out to be the fantastic finale. I suppose the only little bit of icing that wasn't on the cake was not riding a winner on the last day. But yeah, for me, him getting from A to B and walking away was the winner.
Yeah, I agree. He was at Punchestown as well, so let's have a look at some of the action that happened at Punchestown on Wednesday. The new Gold Cup winner is Don Cossack, who's got some good form. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? He got outridden by AP, didn't he, really? Brian Cooper in the Ryanair. And then since then, Don Cossack's won both these races. It just shows the form to be real high quality.
Oh, yeah, very high quality. Carl Carberry, again, fantastic rider. I mean, he's one of the elder statesmen of the weighing room, but he still is a top, top rider. And on the big day, there's nobody better. And he was just brilliant on this horse, Don Cossack. I mean, he just continues to improve. He's just an eight-year-old now. His official rating of 171. So, you know, he is out the top draw. And as you quite rightly said, it just beggars belief that, you know, He couldn't win the Ryanair last time out, or two runs ago. But yeah, out the top draw, and it was nice because Don Cossack carries the colours of Gigginstown, but trained by Gordon Elliott, not W.P. Mullins.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. It's good. It's a nice quote as well from Gordon Elliott, who said he's long been the apple of his eye. And you can see why, can't you? Don Cossack is a marvellous horse.
Oh, of course you can. But oh, blimey, he's more than likely would have been the apple of both my eyes, to be perfectly honest, if we had a horse like that. But no, he's been a great testament to him. And again, it was interesting, the other day I was reading that Gordon Elliott had trained a bumper winner for Gigginstown at the Punchestown Festival, and he said, well, he's a nice horse, but it's a shame I won't be training him next year because he's going to Willie Mullins.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? You train a winner at the Punchestown Festival and then you lose the horse to Willie Mullins.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It's quite a nice situation for the owners, isn't it? Yeah, I'll just send this one to Willie as well.
Yeah. Poor Willie. He's having a bad time of it, like. You know, he just needs a bit of a boost.
Yeah. He had a winner, more winners on the card at Punchestown as well, but not necessarily the ones you've expected all week. And Kiloltovic summed that up in the Daily Mail, Irish Daily Mail Novice Hurdle. He won the race, and the favourite, Shane's Hill, was only back in third.
Yeah, and again, that does show that, you know, that what strength he's got, that even his second and third and fourth strings can take a hand in the finishes in these top grade one races. So, you know, he's just got so much strength in depth at the high end of the races that, you know, he's not, again, pitching them in there to make up the runners, is he? He's pitching them in there because they've actually got a genuine chance.
Mm.
So it just shows his strength, you know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, at the time of recording this, there's been 6 Grade 1 races in Punchestown. Willie Mullins has won 5 of them.
Yeah.
Including Bells Hill on the Wednesday as well in the bumper.
Good performance by Bells Hill, I thought. Real good performance. I mean, obviously, that's a very, very strong race, as you would imagine. And I just think he could be a nice horse. Son of the King's Theatre is really stamping his jumpers at this moment in time. And Bells Hill carried the colours of Andrew and Graham Whaley, who continue to support Irish racing. Not quite so sure. Have they got many over here, or maybe the odd one with Nichols?
Yeah, still got a couple of Nichols, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a nice horse going places, Bells Hill.
Yeah, I think the likely target for him next year will be the Neptune, I think. So interesting to see how that pans out next season.
Yep.
Anything else caught your eye at Punchestown?
Not really. I can just tell you a quick story about Punchestown, which I was there many years ago.
Okay.
It was a cold day and was sat outside somebody's car having some champagne and lobster. All very nice. A friend of mine introduced it to a friend of his who says, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm into point appointed, blah, blah. I have a horse for you. I have a horse. Just will be perfect for you. I'll put him on the board next week for you."
Yeah.
Sure enough. So this is for nothing. Just send him over to you. So we got the horse, got him fit. Took him to the races the first day at the point to point. He jumps the jumps, and as soon as he comes to where the lorries are, he goes from the inside of the fence to the outside of the fence. That's yeah. On the first circuit.
Yeah.
On the second circuit, he goes from the inside of the fence, over the jump on the outside of the fence, off the course, and up the ramp of the lorry.
Right. Yeah. But that was fun.
He did exactly the same the next time out.
Right.
And the next time out.
Loves his horse box.
So just be aware about a gift horse. It's not all it seems. And that's my last recollection of Punchestown.
Yeah, we'll make a new phrase. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth unless he makes a beeline for the horse box.
Yeah, yeah. He's now, his career now is leading horses up the lorry who aren't very good at it.
Fair enough. We'll move on to some of the Punchestown action on Friday in just a moment or two, but a little bit more news to talk about. Joseph O'Brien's going to ride in the Guineas, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, I didn't realise that a one-legged jockey can ride, but then some wag in the office said, "Well, actually, don't forget Guy Disney.
Yeah.
He's done it, hasn't he? I think he rode a winner at the Royal Artillery meeting." So, yeah, I mean, how Joseph has got down to that weight is beyond me. I mean, I was watching him very closely at the York Festival last year in August, and he was struggling big, big style. I mean, he didn't have a saddle on. He just had a little bit of plastic that held the girths and the stirrup irons on. So, yeah, I think he's maybe done remarkably well to get there. How long-term it will affect him, I wouldn't know. But, yeah, big surprise that, because I definitely thought, you know, 9.5 was getting difficult.
Yeah, his days are numbered on the flat, really, aren't they?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. Most certainly. Yeah, and again, Kane Kenn will be at the Guineas. I ask him to go and watch the saddling procedure.
Yeah, OK. He's probably not going to ride Glen Eagles, though. It looks like Ryan Moore's still going to take the ride on the Ballydoyle first string. And, well, he's got a choice of the rest of them, basically. So.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, they'll give him second best, you'd imagine, wouldn't you? That's the thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'd watch this space with him. But I would be concerned about the poor lad's well-being trying to do 9 stone.
Mm. While we're on the subject of the Guineas as well, one runner that won't be taking part is the Wow Signal from the John Quinn Yard. That's a blow for them, isn't it?
Oh, big, big blow, because they've been getting this horse fit and ready to make his debut run in the Guineas. He'd had a little racecourse gallop at Pontefract not that long ago just to make him razor sharp. And obviously, I'm not so sure what sort of injury he's sustained, but hopefully it's not long term. But yeah, disappointing for all, because, you know, we're so close and a wheel drops off. It's heartbreaking for all concerned, really.
Yeah, just shows how hard it is to get them to the big day as well.
Oh yeah, but again, you know, to be honest, people don't appreciate it. They think this racehorse training is easy, and you know, they get it, but there's lots don't get there for whatever reason, and sometimes you've just got to say to yourself, well, actually, we're quite happy to be here. What happens next is, you know, all good.
Okay, anything else got your eye pinning before we move on?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, today the national hunt season starts, doesn't it? So that's all good. And, yeah. And this weekend the flat season starts. So everything's kicking off.
It's all kicking off.
All kicking off.
Yes. And we'll look at Friday's racing then. And we'll get Pimmy's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, let's start with a little bit of flat action, starting in the 2.55 at Musselburgh. This is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. We've got 8 of them in the lineup here. Pimmy, which ones are on the shortlist?
Yeah, interesting little race, I thought. Obviously, Scotland well represented with Bunce for Amanda Perrett. Jim Goldie's represented by Rothay Dancer and Go Go Green. So again, a fairly strong contingent from the Scottish trainers. Wide open, I thought, but I thought I'm going to side with Frederica. She seems to be an improving filly who's going the right way. And to be fair, she got ahead in front last time, only by a whisker by her head. But I think her confidence will be buoyed by that success. She's only gone up £4 for it. And again, just simply, I think she's one of the few that's coming into the race on the back of a real confidence-boosting run. If I'm looking for value, I'm going to go for Tim Easterby's runner, Soul Brother, who will be double-figure price, that's for sure. Ran a lot better than his finishing position suggested last time out at Ripon. Nothing went right for him. He drops back down to 5 furlongs as well tomorrow. And I just think he might outrun his price. So sticking with the favourite to win the race, but looking to Soul Brother for a bit of each-way value.
Okay, yeah, Tim Easterby had a big price treble earlier in the week, didn't he? Also, his horses running quite well.
Yeah, horses are in good order, that's right. And, you know, he throws plenty of darts at the boars, but plenty do stick. He's often, you know, only averaging a 7, 8, 9% strike rate. But, you know, his horses at this moment in time are in really good form.
Yep, the 4.20 at Punchestown is where we're going next. This is the Grade A Novice Handicap Chase. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We have a field of 18 of them here, Pimmy, so nice easy work for you.
Yeah, you know, if you couldn't have picked a harder race for me, then this certainly is the one. 2 mile, 5 furlongs, the trip. 18 of them face the starter, as you say. Now, I'm going to take a strange view to this one because I'm going to look from Ireland, I'm going to look to the English challenges. Rebecca Curtis is doubly represented by Irish Cavalier and doing fine. We've got Robert Dickin with Thomas Crapper. Now, some people might say he's a toilet because he keeps getting beaten. But to be fair, he ran a cracker last time out. Again, he could be in the mix. And then you've got the Tom George runner, Woof, who I thought slightly underachieved last time out, but he's fairly unexposed and there could be a little bit more to come from him. I don't suppose we can take all four English ones to take on the other 14 Irish. So my two against the field are 7, Thomas Crapper, and number 16, Woof.
Right. So the cue the toilet jokes or the barking mad jokes in there.
Yeah, they should well be, yeah. I miss the barking mad one. Yeah. You'd be barking mad not to back Woof.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, indeedy. You better leave that bit in.
It is, it's staying in.
It's staying in.
The 5.30 at Punchestown is next. This is the Punchestown Champion Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest. Over 2 miles, we see Fourheen bid to follow up his Champion Hurdle success at the Cheltenham Festival. Are you, can you see anywhere past the machine?
Rah. Fahin the machine, you're dead right there, young fella. He's different gravy, isn't he? He was so impressive at the Cheltenham Festival. You know, he's unbeaten. His record speaks for itself. And again, to be fair, the Fahin that we know doesn't turn up or a wheel falls off. That's the only way he's going to get beaten because there's nothing in the field that can beat him, I don't think. Arctic Fire looked like he had the job done at Aintree last time out when he fell at the final hurdle, leaving the race to go to Jetski. Prior to that, again, he'd been running consistently well. He has the hood on tomorrow as usual. On official ratings, he's £4 below Fahim, but he's racing off the same mark, so, you know, it's a difficult task. You've got Del Arca, who needs to set off now, but he's going to take a hand in the finish. And you could also say the same with Tiger Roll. So, I mean, 5 are declared. I can't see Jetski taking his chance again tomorrow after he runs today in that 3-miler. And again, realistically, it's a 2-horse race that on form is a 1-horse race. So let's enjoy and let's hopefully celebrate with the Queeley Group, 35 years in Nace, Champion Hurdle with Fahin.
Fahin then for Pimmy in that one. And the final race we're going to look at is the 6.05 in Punchestown. This is the Champion Novice Hurdle, a Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. And, well, it could just be another one in the Willie Mullins list, couldn't it? He's got Nichols Canyon, who's likely to be market leader. He's also got McKinley and Outlander in there and Semper Medici. So he's got half the field as well, Pimmy.
Yeah, he has. And, 7 are declared and 4 are trained by Willie Mullins. I mean, what a remarkable position that must be to have such high-class young horses taking the chance tomorrow. I mean, Nicholas Canyon, he's going to set off favourite, and he's every chance to do that as well, because he ran well, I thought, at Aintree, over 2 mile 4 furlong, as the trip is tomorrow. He got the job done nicely, and he beat Parlour Games on that occasion, and there should be a bit more to come from him. He ran well in the Neptune, if not a little bit free early doors there. Didn't quite get home up and down the hills and undulations of Cheltenham prior to that, but his form is rock solid. And again, you know, we've got to look towards one of the Mullins horses chasing him home. And I presume that more than likely will be Supreme Medici. He was a winner last time out when he beat Identify Thief at Ferry House. And there could be a little bit more to come from him. You can imagine that he's going to be one of the improvers if there are any in the field. So, seventh post for Mullins. It's another winner for Mullins, and hopefully it'll be the favourite again, Nichols Canyon.
Fantastic. Good work, Pimmy. Let's have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Goodness gracious me. Well, we're going to start off in Scotland in our opening race. It's a 5 furlong dash there, and we're going to take a chance here with the favourite, Frederica, and looking for a double-figure price for a bit of each-way selection, Soul Brother. Then we head to that very, very competitive Grade A handicap chase at 4.20 at Punchestown. And I'm going to take the Irish on in their own backyard with two horses trained by English trainers. In the first instance, it's going to be Thomas Cracker. And you must be barking mad if you don't have a few quid each way on Woof. And then we come to the final two races that we're looking forward to tomorrow. It's in the Irish Champion Hurdle. Obviously, we're going to go with Faheen, who should continue his unbeaten run. And in the final, the novices' Grade 1 hurdle. Again, it's one more for the Mullins machine in Nichols Canyon.
Superb. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Well, good.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Gareth Topham, James Millman and Ross Briley will be in the studio. We've got Chepstow, Lingfield and Musselburgh in the afternoon, Bangor and Fontwell in the evening, and day 4 of the Punchestown Festival. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.